You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Dan Patrick Show. Rob Parker, TJ Houshmandzadeh filling in for Dan and the Danettes. Taking some time off this week on this Tuesday. Our telephone number, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Couple things we love to hear you chime in on. Carson Wentz, what's the best landing spot? Should the Colts be all the way in, or does it look like the Bears have stepped to the forefront and they're the front runner in the sweepstakes to get Carson Wentz from the Philadelphia Eagles? Also, maybe we want to hear from you on this. The Urban Meyer, do you think he'll have success in Jacksonville? He has Trevor Lawrence coming in. They got draft picks. He's had success everywhere he's been in college. Will Urban Meyer be a success in the NFL? And TJ Houshmandzadeh and I, of course, Fox Sports Radio guys. TJ has a show on Saturdays, Up on Game, every Saturday from 1 to 3 Eastern. And I'm on the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And yes, Chris and I will be on later tonight, but for the final hour of the program, we are going to talk some football. And also in about 20 minutes or so, we'll talk to Hugh Jackson, the former NFL head coach, right here on the Dan Patrick Show. But TJ, like I said, if people want to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. But let's talk about the J.J. Watt. Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland, Plain Dealer, tweeted out, she has a story that J.J. Watt is seriously considering the Browns as one of his options because the Browns have a lot of what he wants. That's what the sources are telling Cleveland.com. What do you make of J.J. Watt?
Man, if he can get to Cleveland, and if that's a true story and that's somewhere he's seriously considering, granted, J.J., the first 5 years of his career, J.J. Watt was remarkable. There's only three defensive players in the history of the NFL to win Defensive Player of the Year three times. Aaron Donald, Lawrence Taylor, J.J. Watt. If he can just get close to what he was, obviously he's on the back nine of his career. But you look at that Cleveland team, best offensive line in league, two-headed monster at running back and Chubb and Hunt. If OBJ comes back healthy, even if he doesn't, they're going to be effective throwing the ball. But he will be playing opposite of Myles Garrett, who's going to receive all the attention. We've never seen this before. With J.J. Watt is, in fact, the number two guy on that defensive line. And so if he can stay healthy and he can get to that Cleveland Browns team, I see him doing damage with them if he's able to stay healthy, because Myles Garrett is going to require all the extra attention. He's going to be the guy being double teamed. They're going to single block J.J. Watt. Now, I'm thinking he's looking at that saying, I can really do some damage in his defense.
Yeah, but the big thing, you just said it. If he can stay healthy, that's why he's not in Houston anymore. I mean, it wasn't a total shock. Were you shocked when he asked for his release and he was released? Not at all, right?
Let me ask you this. If J.J. Watt doesn't ask to be released, do you believe they have the cojones to release them outright without him asking for it?
That's a good question. That's fair.
I mean, what he means to that city, the organization. I mean, he was making over $17 million this year. But do you think they would have gone that route and said, we're just going to outright release him?
But don't you think it was he knew it as well? Like, it was a combination? I don't know. Maybe he got the sense that they wanted to and didn't want to go out that way. TJ, do players, does that make a difference? You know what I mean? Like, being released and asking for your release, you know, you don't feel like they didn't want me. You know, like, I'm asking you to let me out instead of you just cutting me, and then I got to pick up the pieces and move on.
It might be a pride thing, you know.
You know that might, pride does figure
yeah,
in, doesn't it?
It's for sure a pride thing.
Were you released when you left Cincinnati, or did
no,
you just?
No, I was not released, but Seattle released me. And for the longest.
What was that like? Seriously.
Yeah, I was pissed off because I got a call from someone. I'll never forget this, man. It's a true story. We're getting ready to play the Raiders in the last preseason game. I'm on the bus, and I always sat at the front of the bus. And so it's fourth game of the season, and I get a call on the way to the game. And I'm just letting you know, Pete's trying to trade you. I'm like, huh?
Right.
This is from, I'm not even going to say who called me, but somebody right. called me. And I said, really? Literally, as soon as I hang up the phone, Pete Carroll offers me some M&Ms.
No, he does not.
I promise you. It was like I hang up the phone. He reaches back and offers me some. I looked at him so crazy.
He said, here's a parting gift. You want a couple of M&Ms?
Exactly. So the final cuts come, and they didn't release me at final cuts. They released me the next day. And so it sucked because my family was out there. I had paid for private school, and these people in Seattle would not give me my money back.
That ain't right, especially knowing the kind of job that you have. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Rob,
like,
you know
I understand
much,
it.
You know how much money they kept of my money? $40,000. They refused to give it back.
That ain't even right. Your kids hadn't started school yet, right?
They were supposed to start school in 2 days.
That ain't right.
And so, yeah, it kind of pisses you off. But I will say this, playing in Baltimore, I was awful as a player. But, man, it was by far the best time that I've ever had. Like, I'm such a fan of Bashotti and Harbaugh and the way they do things in Baltimore. So, yeah, I was released. It is a shot to the ego. And so I could see J.J. Watt saying, release me. I'm saying I want to be released.
Right,
this is my
right.
own. Yeah, I could see that for sure.
This is my choice. You didn't put me out with the trash, so I can see it. All right, 877-99 on Fox.
Let's take some callers, man.
Let's Tank, do it.
Tank in Chesapeake, you're listening to the Dan Patrick Show. Talk to us.
Man, you guys are awesome. I listen to you, TJ, now on your Saturday show. And Rob, I've been a fan of yours for a while. So let me say this as a 55-year-old white man. Now, Urban Meyer, dude, what are you doing? Okay, you get all these opportunities, you get all these people stroking your ego yep. and telling you how great you are, and then you come in and you just look. I'm not saying Mr. Doyle, and I use that loosely, deserves not to live his life enough, but he certainly doesn't deserve to be in another locker room.
Not this quickly. And the other thing, Tank, he never really apologized or said. If you offend somebody and somebody says, hey, TJ, what you just said, you offended me, right? If you don't mean to offend somebody, you would apologize. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. And if you want to offend TJ, offer him some M&Ms, right?
That's right.
No doubt. While I got you guys real quick, let me say this about another guy who y'all haven't bought it yet. Russell Wilson, dude. I mean, let's not talk about you winning a playoff game against the Vikings because it's so cold the kicker can't make a field goal, and then you lose a playoff game to the Panthers that when you fall behind 7-0, your next trip onto the field, you throw a pick six and put your team down 14-0. So
Super Bowl with an end zone at the 1 yard line at the interception.
Rob, let me give you a stat of the day for the Dan Patrick Show. There were 101 passes thrown at from the 1 yard line that year. Russell Wilson was the only one that got in.
Go ahead.
Russell Wilson was the only one that got intercepted.
Wow, 100. That
hey,
I'm
Tank,
sure it was.
You're doing some research, brother. I like it. I
seven,
like
five,
it.
Seven, bro. Plaxico,
all right.
Area. I know like
appreciate
quarterback. So
appreciate the call, Tank. Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Let's take another one. Kim in Indiana, you're listening to the Dan Patrick Show. Talk to us.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate you guys filling in again this year. You were great
Thanks.
Earlier.
Thank
you know what, Kim? That's so nice of you. Thank you very much.
Well, I wanted to talk about two things real quick. Urban Meyer, just flat out, he defended a person who was beating his wife when he was at Ohio State. Now he's defending a racist. It just seems to me he's got a lot of growing up to do as an individual, period.
I just think it's hard for people to not look at your past when this is you protect people who you like or friends of yours, even if they do wrong, and you can't do that. That's just not
Correct.
People aren't going to accept that anymore.
Correct. And on Draymond Green, what I have to say, Rob, is I agree with you. TJ has an excellent point, but I agree with you. And I compare it to if I'm trying to sell my house, okay, and I want to get rid of my house, and I just tell them, listen, I want out. And I'm just trying to sell because I want to move. And you know what? I'm going to get less for my house.
Yes.
And that's why the player not only hurts the team, they hurt themselves because they're not going to be in a good situation because they're limiting their resources by speaking out. And if it's in their contract, realistically, they've agreed to not speak out. So that's a whole other issue.
There is
that
language
in the contract. We have some knowledgeable
Thank
callers.
Thank you guys
here.
So much.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Kim. Have
you
a
both.
Great Tuesday. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you, Kim. We got another one. Manuel and Gardena. You're on the Dan Patrick Show. Talk to us.
What up? Hey, TJ, first off, you were one a big part of great offense in Cincinnati, but more importantly, one of the most memorable commercials in TV history when that aloof white dude was trying to pull your name and he says, TJ, who's your mama? That was one of the funniest things ever. Rob Parker, you know, I'm always team Rob Parker, even though I disagree with you 99% of the time.
That's all right. You know what? I love it because if you agreed with everything I said, you wouldn't listen. So I'm all right with that.
Exactly.
We can agree to disagree. I love that.
Hey, also to the superiors at Fox, is there a reason why you guys are only on one day a week, TJ? Because you guys' show is next level, man. We need to have you guys at least both days of the weekend or every day of the week, man.
Well, you know what? I'm sure that the bosses are listening, but they just got started with the show. Matter of fact, I'll just say this. Chris and I had a once-a-week show on Sundays, and then we got promoted to a five-day-a-week show. So, yeah, it's possible, definitely.
I hope so, man. Hey, so to the point, I'm with you, man. I think Drummond, I think the Lakers need to make it happen, however it needs to happen. Get Drummond into a Laker uniform to get that Dwight Howard factor, you know, a rim protector. Because, man, I'm really scared about the Achilles deal, calf
yes.
strain
yes.
with AD, man. I remember Kobe. I remember KD.
Yep. You
know, that's not how I want our season to end. Fellas, keep up the great work. You know I love both of you guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much
Thank
for the
you,
call.
Manuel. We have another one. One more. Ernie in Maryland. You're on the Dan Patrick Show. Talk to us.
Hey, how you guys doing? Rob, always doing good to hear you. You keep keeping it real.
Thank you, Ernie.
TJ.
You know what? Always, man. Always. I have to.
TJ, man, you were one hell of a ball player. I loved it when you came to Baltimore. I saw you a few times. You were the real deal. Real quick, two things. Trevor Lawrence is going to make it in the NFL. Urban Meyer is not. As soon as they start losing, like he always does, he's going to jump ship. Watch what I tell you. If they don't fire him before. Now on the Draymond thing, I'm kind of all over the place on this, so bear with me. What I liken this to, and it's happening in all three of the major sports, where it's if you can do it, I can do it. You know, it's like, I guess I'll start with Brady. You know, he went and got Gronk. He went and got Leonard Fournette. So now Russell Wilson says, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And then
Right. Then
you get Harden and, you know, whatever happened in Houston. So then you get the owners, and they're like, well, if they can do this, well, we'll just do this to the other ones. It's like billionaires and millionaires in a big sandbox pointing their fingers at each other.
No, you know what? There's no doubt that there's, you know, NBA, there's more power, and we appreciate the call, Ernie. Thank you. There's more power, TJ, because there are less players, and those players have – the NBA has always been a players' league, always.
And they're more visible.
Yes.
They
Most football
more.
Players have a helmet on. You don't even know who they are.
But they – especially when you're on a premier team that's playing on national television, they play a few games a week. And so not only do you not have a helmet on, but you're on TV a lot more. Your voice is heard
yep.
a lot more. So, I mean, it's a completely different – dynamic. And then you get a guy like Draymond, where Golden State had so much success. And so when he speaks, people are going to listen. And he's intelligent. He knows what he's talking about. And he strictly speaking for the players. And so, and I'm sure the players look at him like, yeah, that's my dog, Draymond, keep it going.
Oh, no doubt. There's no doubt that players, it resonated with them. But I do see the other side. I've always been about free agency and players being able to move on and do whatever. But I do understand the business side of it as an organization and not hurting the trade value. You agree with me on that,
Yes,
That a player can hurt his own trade value and now I can't get in return. I'm not going to give away James Harden, okay, right? I'm not going to give him away.
100% both sides of it. I get both sides. And so, yeah, we have more callers. Eric in Indiana.
Let's do it.
We have one more. Eric in Indiana. You're listening to the Dan Patrick Show. Talk to us.
5'7", a slender 140.
Is he ordering food?
Patrick Ding.
Oh, you got I got you. You're doing the Dan Patrick weight and height. I got you. All right.
Yeah. That's what I was doing. No, I just, okay. As a Colts fan, I don't want Carson Wentz.
Oh, wow.
I want from the Jets, Darnold.
You want Sam Darnold.
If you guys could just, like, give your take on that and how you think that might be able to work out, if you would even be able to get him.
Well, the Jets haven't shown their cards yet on what they're going to do, TJ, right, in the draft. We don't know if they're going to draft a quarterback and then move Darnold or whatever. But the only reason I think that the Colts, I'm surprised that a Colts fan would say that, is because of Carson Wentz's
connection with Wright.
Yeah, right, and the success that he had. You know what I mean? To me, like there's something there. If you want to talk about, you'd rather take Sam Darnold. We've never really seen Sam Darnold play well in the NFL, not really consistently, and I don't know how much of that was the coaching, TJ, and how bad the Jets were in their scheme and what was going on there. But we did see Carson Wentz play well at one point, right? Is that a difference between the two?
Yes, but with all due respect to the Jets, when you look at their skilled players, name me one. Just give me one off the top of your head that could start on any other team.
That's the problem. I can't. I don't have all day.
We don't know.
You like Sam Darnold, right?
I do. I do like Sam. I like him a lot. He's a great athlete. He can really throw the ball, but he just hasn't had the weapons around him. Now, this is what I will say about, if the Colts don't want to give up a one for Carson Wentz, they're damn sure not going to give up a one for Sam Darnold, who hasn't had the same type of success. And so it might be a moot point, to be honest with you. Now, if I'm the Jets and I'm going to keep Sam Darnold, I try to move off that pick, that second pick, give it to someone that wants a quarterback and hopefully stay within the top 12, because I can still get one of the top receivers whom they need very bad.
Yes, and the Jets have a lot of picks coming up, right? They have picks.
And they're in prime position.
Right.
Trade that second pick, get more draft capital, and you can still get your receiver. Now you're set for years to come because you have so many high picks you just can't miss.
No, I agree with you. It's going to be interesting to see how it does play out. And just a side note, you know this. We saw that with Jared Goff look like a bust, right, with the Rams originally. And then all
and
of a sudden –
here comes Sean McVay to the rescue.
Exactly. And all of a sudden that changed, and he got him to a Super Bowl. Now, I know he, in the last year or so, regressed, but they did get to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff. So we'll see what happens. All right, coming up next on the Dan Patrick Show, we will talk with former NFL head coach Hugh Jackson, who break down a number of topics we've been talking about NFL-wise. We'll do that. Rob Parker, TJ Houshmandzadeh, filling in for Dan Patrick and the Danettes right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
It is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, TJ Houshmandzadeh on your Trash Talking Tuesday, 877-99 on Fox. And now we welcome in former NFL head coach Hugh Jackson. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show. Hugh, what's happening?
Not much. Just out here working with these kids.
Man. I was going to say, I know there's a lot of work to be done for sure. Hugh, we got a couple of topics. Obviously, we want to jump in with you. Let's start with the potential Carson Wentz trade. Maybe it seems like the Bears are the front runners. The Colts were there. It seemed like that was a natural fit. Where are you on that? If you were a coach and you saw you need a quarterback, would you be willing to take a chance on Carson Wentz rebounding? And does he fit with the Bears?
Absolutely. I think you say, first of all, let me answer the first question. You say, would I take a chance on him rebounding? Absolutely, I would. But I would have to do the work to find out where he is, you know, because that was a tough year for him in Philadelphia. He got hit a lot. Mentally, where is he? How is he seeing himself? You know, and I think all those things are so important when you do this. So that's the first and foremost. Do I think I would want to? Absolutely. The guy's a former second pick of the draft. So there's something in there. Now, has he been injured? Has some things happened during the year? Absolutely. But I would just have to spend that extra time because those guys are too hard to find. And if he's going to be able to make it back, do I want the guy?
See, you say that because I know how you are. I know you're going to get every ounce of talent out of him. See, that's one thing that people don't realize is coaching is a lot about X and O's, but it's really about showing belief in the player and that player knowing you got that belief. See, they don't see that part of it. You're going to give him that belief. But that's another story. We're talking coaching. Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. One, do you think – he's going to have success? And what do you make of him hiring Chris Doyle and then 360, he's not going to be part of the staff?
Well, TJ, let me answer that one first about Chris Doyle. I think that was a real black eye for him because he came out and said that those guys had worked together. They never worked together.
It was false. It was a lie. Absolutely,
you know, that's what I'm saying. So that's a problem. You know, that within itself is a problem. So it seems like you're trying to cover something up because you know there was an issue. And so I think anybody, before you hire a coach, you vet them out. You make sure you know exactly what it is the problems are. So that was disappointing. And he got to take a black eye for that. Okay, now as far as can he have success, he surrounded himself with a really good staff. But TJ and Rob, you guys know, it still stems from the head coach, you know, and how they see you. The rah-rah stuff you did in college don't work in the National Football League. They want you to coach them. They want you to lead them. They want you to add value to them. That's what the National Football League players are looking for. You don't do that by screaming at them. You do that by being detailed and disciplined and making sure that you create an environment for those guys to become the best they can be. That's yet to be seen.
It was interesting. Fritz Pollard came out with a statement after the Chris Doyle hiring, basically saying the good old boy network continues to, you know, churn and that the hire was unacceptable. But on the flip side, the NFL's tried to do all this stuff, Hugh, to get black coaches in the mix. Eric Bieniemy, another year has gone by, went to the Super Bowl again, no job for him. Only one African-American was hired in the, six openings in the NFL this year. How do we get this worked out to where a league is 70% black, but there aren't the opportunities for guys to have a career after playing or to be in coaching? This is broken. Something's wrong here.
Robbie, this has been broken for a long time, you know, and there's something that I've talked very strongly about. And I think in order to understand it, you've got to understand the history of the league. Minority players, coaches, wasn't at the start of the league. They wasn't needed. They wasn't wanted. It wasn't until there was an injunction that Kenny Washington, the first player to play, that's when he played. They had to go to court in order to have that happen. The first head coach, you know, was Art Schell. You know, so that's 40, 50 years after the league has started. So we all have to go back and understand the starting points for minorities is way different for our Caucasian brothers. And so what I'm saying to you is that's the way it was then. But the problem is, like you just said, it's 70% black players. So they're making money off the black players. But yet the black players can't lead an organization. So what's really being said is, we'll use you and make money off of you,
right,
but we don't need you to lead our organizations, which I think is wrong because this is an easy fix, in my opinion. You do what's right. If you have four head coaching jobs available, two go to Caucasian coaches, two go to minority coaches. And then let's let the data tell us where we are, right? I mean, that's what we did with the concussion situation. We made it mandatory that, you know, we're going to take the head out of the game. And both of you guys know, TJ and you, Rob, no, you can't take the head out of the game. They mandated that. And we made sure that over the years that coaches were coaching it better, things were getting better. So why can't we be intentional about diversity and inclusion? Why can't we do it the same way and okay. do what's right and what's fair?
Now, if I push back on you with that, it would be this. If I'm an owner and I don't want to hire a black coach, you're not going to tell me to hire a black coach. How do you navigate through that?
Well, to me, that's the part about mandating. I might not want to hire a black coach, but here's the coaches that we have in this pool that we say are the best. And it's what, if we're going to change this, if we're going to make a difference in this, and if everybody's standing for the right thing, then you'll be willing to do whatever, you know? Yeah, I got to vet this coach out. We vet out coaches every year. So why is it that we as an owner who has minority players who are some of the best players in the league on our team, but yet I can't get a black man to lead them? That don't even make any sense.
See, I do believe that it comes – the players have to be ultimately – and organizations that don't promote and give opportunities to African-Americans are teams you shouldn't want to go to or shouldn't want to play for. You know, that's the only way. When you start hurting them with people not wanting to play for you, I think that's the only way that they get the message. But anyway, let's move to J.J. Watt. Report came out of Cleveland that he might consider going to the Browns. What about that? Is that a fit for J.J. Watt and the Browns?
I think it's a fit anywhere J.J. goes. I just think he's that type of player. I think he's going to bring an energy. I think he's going to bring, some veteran presence in the locker room. And obviously the guy knows how to win. So I think it's a fit, but I think he can fit a lot of different places. And I think it's an area where the Browns need to improve. So I can see that. But I can also see some other teams, because what I've heard is almost 10 teams that want his services. But it's going to come down to a bidding war when it's all said and done.
Hey, Hugh, I hear you out there on the field right now. For those that don't know, Hugh was getting the next generation of players ready for the NFL season in the combine, the draft. Which players out there that you're working with that we knew were really good and the ones that are surprising you, like, oh, this kid can really play it. I didn't know he was this good.
The kid that I'm working with is Kellen Mond, the kid from A&M, the quarterback, and Amari Rogers, the receiver kid out of Clemson. They are as advertised. They're really good players, and Travis Etienne. I mean, these guys are special players, and they just got to keep working and really understand the NFL game more, which they will in time. At this point, we've had so many guys, but there's a young man, Deshaun, who's out of Texas A&M. He didn't play last year. He's a receiver. He's all a 6'2" and a half TJ. He's 215 pounds, and he can run, and he can catch. And I think he's got a real bright future ahead of himself. You know, I think everybody's going to really want to figure out why he opted out, and that's something he's going to have to answer. But there's been quite a few guys out here that are really showing themselves. But at the same time, me and you both know it's what they do when the game comes, you know. And I don't know a lot about those guys that way.
Hugh, talking about the draft, if you're the New York Jets, what do you do? Do you keep Sam Darnold, drop out of that number two spot, drop down? TJ was saying maybe get a top 12 pick or something. Have you seen enough of Darnold to make a decision on him, or do you reset because this general manager at the Jets didn't actually draft Darnold and go and maybe get a Jalen Hurts or somebody else? What would you do in New York with that second pick if you're the Jets?
Well, I think that's the big question is, are we committed to Sam Darnold? If we're not, I'm doing everything I can to go get Deshaun Watson. I'm putting him on our team because he is one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. And if I can surround him with the coaching, the talent, he's going to win for me. But I have to make the decision of where Darnold is because I spent a lot of capital acquiring him and putting him on this team, whether I was the GM at the time or not. Because if he is the right quarterback for the coaches and the system that they're going to put in place, it gives us some leverage. If he's not, then obviously we got to go find that guy. And to me, I would be willing to package something together to give to Houston in order to get Deshaun Watson out of Houston.
Man, Hugh. So yeah. look at the you bring up Deshaun Watson. I know he wants out, and me and you, we talked a lot when you were the coach of Cleveland. I know you wanted to draft Deshaun Watson, but that's, as you would say, water off a duck's back. if you're the Houston Texans, do you try to make this work, or do you grant him his wish and trade him?
You know what's interesting, TJ? If I'm Houston, they just traded – they just cut, I should say, J.J. Watt. In my mind, they should do the right thing right now. The player don't want to be there. I'm not going to have someone with a new coaching staff that doesn't want to be there. I would do the right thing by the player at the time. I would make a decision because I got a chance to better my team and have a team that I have enough guys that want to be there. So I would be doing everything I can to move him because keeping a player, as you know, TJ, a player that doesn't want to be somewhere, that's not a good fit. It's not good for your locker room. It's not good for the new coaching staff. It's not good for anybody. So let's make this work, you know. Let's make this work by me getting something that I feel comfortable getting for the player. But I need to move on. And I know why everybody say, well, Hugh, you must be crazy because this guy's one of the better quarterbacks. It's hard to give these guys away. No doubt. But if I have a conflict, it's not going to work. I can't make something work that's not going to work.
No doubt. All right, there he is. Hugh Jackson, former NFL coach, man. We appreciate your time this morning on the Dan Patrick Show. Have a
appreciate
great day,
you,
Hugh.
Hey,
keep
thank you, guys.
It's better.
Yes, sir.
All right. Appreciate it. All right. It is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio, and we'll put a beautiful bow on this bad boy coming up next. So you want to stick and stay right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
It is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker and TJ Houshmandzadeh on this Trash Talking Tuesday. At least that will be tonight on the Odd Couple, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And TJ, let's wrap this bad boy up with Nick Saban in an interview the other day. Basically, kind of threw out there, he didn't say he was for or against it, but maybe about expanding the college football playoffs, that maybe more teams need to be involved. Urban Meyer also kind of said something like that too when he was serving as a football analyst on Fox. Where are you on this? Should we open it up? You ready for it to be March Madness? Should it be the top 64 football teams? Is that what you want? Because I think it's ridiculous. Go ahead. I want to hear you first.
Come on now. I look at it from this. Number one, I agree with them. We're seeing the same teams every single year. Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, and maybe an LSU, maybe another team, Oklahoma, whomever it may be, Georgia, expanded to eight teams, and we will get a different – we won't have Alabama winning so many national championships. We won't have the same teams constantly playing in it, the Notre Dames. And so I believe if they can expand it to eight – maybe 10 teams, but I would think eight would probably be the limit. I'm all in favor of expanding it just to get some new teams playing in it, because it's almost like if you don't make the college football playoff and you're a Power 5 team and you're expected or you have hopes, it's like your season was a failure.
Only problem I have, I totally disagree in that eight is not going to give you more options or more champions as we move along. If Ohio State is in that four, they got blown out 52-24, right? They got blown out. So
this year is a little different, but
no,
you're
but,
right.
but my point is, teams worse than Ohio State, you're going to let in the playoff now for what? So that they could get drubbed even worse and people feel good about, oh, well, at least they were in the college football playoffs. I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, Alabama, Clemson, they ruined college football. I get it. I know what you're saying, TJ. Like, what is there to look forward to, right? What is there to look forward to? We already know the end of the movie. We've seen it before.
This is the thing when you talk to college football playoff. The season hasn't started. And we already know Alabama and Clemson will be in a college football playoff. And here we're in February. And we know next January, Alabama and Clemson will be in the college football. Who will be joining them? We don't know. But those two, that's a for sure thing. And that's right. Not good. That's not good for college football.
I agree with that, but I'm saying adding other teams that aren't good. You want to put Michigan in so they can lose 95-6? You know what I mean? Like putting in four more teams that aren't as good as Ohio State. That's what you're saying. Put in four more teams that aren't as good as Ohio State and so they can get their butts kicked. I don't understand the logic to that. It's unfair what's going on in Alabama and with Clemson, and it's not good for the sport as far as when you talk about competitive balance. Otherwise, if you don't have some sort of competitive balance, basically you're watching the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals, right? And we know how that turns out. The only thing missing, TJ, is a bucket of confetti. That's the only thing different with college football.
Man, it's almost like Clemson and Alabama's getting more scholarship kids than the rest because they are literally getting the best players.
Well, the kids want to go there, right? Like you're not going to go, all right, you got a chance to go to Alabama. You know that they win national championships, so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. All the kids want to go there. They're two and three deep, right, of players who will sign on.
I'm not going to lie to you, Rob. If I was one of those kids, I would want to go to a really good school. But I want to go to a school that I can beat those teams. Like, I don't want to just join them. I want to beat those teams. So I'm not going to go to a terrible team where I have no chance. But I'm going to go to an LSU. I'm going to go to a Georgia where we're good schools. But I want to beat the Alabamas. I want to beat the Clemsons. I don't want to join them.
I get it. But in this day and age, and you know this better than me, with the whole AAU mentality, this is where we are. Kids don't want to. In the old days in Detroit, where, you know, I spent 20 years working, you know, you would have three or four of the best high school basketball players, and they would play on different AAU teams, right, TJ? Because they wanted to be considered the best basketball player out of the city of
now
Detroit,
they play together,
right?
Huh?
Now all of them play on the same team. They beat nobody, go undefeated, right, in their AAU team. There's no competition. That's why all these kids are flocking to the one or two or three schools, and they don't want to go anywhere. They don't want to slay the dragon. They want to get on the dragon's back.
Hey, let's hope the area that we both live in, Rob, that USC can get their you-know-what together and start putting a competitive team out there that can compete with the Alabamas and Clemsons.
But those California kids are going to Alabama, right?
You know why? Because their home state team, they haven't done anything. They're not putting guys in the NFL consistently. They're not winning consistently. And so it's going to have to change, but right now it's Alabama, Clemson. There's two spots open for the however many teams you guys fight for these two spots. And so I believe if they open it up and now it's six spots, it just makes it better television. You never know. You might get one of these teams at Alabama or Clemson. They have a bad day. They get knocked out by a surprise team. The more games you have to play, the more things that can go wrong. I'm a fan of football. I love the game. And so I think it would be good for the kids, for football, and especially for the schools.
No doubt. I just would love to see college football spread the wealth and make it more competitive. And
how do
and
they do that? Hey, you tell the kid, you can't go to Alabama.
No,
you
I know. They can't do that. I mean, that's
else.
The problem. You're banned. Like this draft territorial rights. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way it used to be in the NBA draft. Like, you know, people had territory rights. If a kid was from Detroit or New York, like, the Knicks owned their rights, you know? Like, it used to be like that. But this is – it's really bad. I don't think expanding the playoffs, though. I don't think that fixes the problem. Will four more teams feel good and be able to brag and say, hey, you know, we were in the college football playoffs.
But
you know what I mean?
You know what happens, Rob? You add four more teams. The recruits And these kids are seeing those teams in the college football playoffs. So now that will even the playing field now. So
a
they
little
won't
bit.
Be so. Yeah, they won't always want to go to Alabama and Clemson because these kids, oh man, they're in a college football playoff every year. You expand, these kids will expand their college choices and there'll be more parity. And that's just my opinion. These kids want to play on TV. They see Alabama and Clemson all the time. Expand the field. Now they open their options. And so I think it will equal more parity.
No, I get that. That makes sense. But if your team, the team you still want to go to, gets their heads handed to them by Alabama, they lose by 70.
At least
is that going to make you want to go?
No, but at least they were there. You never. Somebody might have a change of thought and say, you know what? I'm going to go beat Alabama.
Or there's an upset. You know what I mean? Like eventually there's got to be some sort of earth-shattering upset that shifts that shifts everything. All right. Hey, TJ, man. What a fun show filling in for Dan Patrick here on this Tuesday. And you got a busy day ready to go?
Nah, just do some combine training, man. Go get my guys ready for the combine or the pro day. Head out and get them better.
All right. It is the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, TJ Houshmandzadeh. Join us next week on the iCouple.